Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. And if we all want to follow it in the Bible, which is in front of you, it's on page 1089. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Well, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Marion. If you have got Bibles in front of you, do keep them open on page 1089. Let's ask for the Lord's help as we briefly think about this passage together. Father God, we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that first Easter Sunday. Lord, please renew our confidence in the truth of that event and what it means for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this morning I'm going to tell you about an extraordinary skill that I have. It's a skill that requires incredible power and incredible concentration. I can turn a banana into a kiwi. Now I'm not joking, I really can. I can turn a banana into a kiwi. I'm absolutely serious. Now, do you believe that I can turn a banana into a kiwi this morning? Do you believe I can do it? Many people would say seeing is believing. You know, they need to see something before they can accept that it's true. But what about you this morning? Do you believe I can turn a banana into a kiwi without seeing it? Do you? You doubters. Do you think I can do it? No? Davina's shaking her head. Come up, you doubter. What about you, Nick? Do you think I can do this? Okay, I want you two to come up. And I'm going to show you how I can turn a banana into a kiwi. But because you all are doubters as well, I'm not going to do it in front of you. I want you to be able to come and just see me. Actually, can you... I tell you... Yeah. Are you ready? I'm going to turn this banana into this kiwi. Okay, watch. Watch carefully. Watch. I'm going to turn the banana into the kiwi. Yeah?
Yeah.
Shall I do it again?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to turn the banana into the kiwi.
That's incredible.
Brilliant. Come and look. Let me just clarify this. Okay. Everyone doesn't think I can turn the banana Did you actually see me turn a banana into a kiwi?
I'm not being funny, but he actually did. I promise you, he actually did.
And Nick, what about you?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Turned the banana into the kiwi.
Thank you very much. Go and have a seat. Go and have a seat. You see, they saw me turn a banana into a kiwi because I actually did. I actually did. But you, the congregation, didn't see it. Now, the question is now, do you believe these reliable people that you know are not fraudsters? You know, Nick is a reliable man. He's got a good, proper job. Davina, she's a reliable person. She's a church warden. You know, are they going to lie? No, they're not. They're truthful people because I actually did it. But now you're being asked to believe what they have seen actually happen. Well, today is the day we remember that Jesus rose from the dead, but many people don't believe that Jesus did. Like Thomas in our reading, they refuse to believe Jesus rose from the dead unless they see it with their own eyes. You remember that Thomas was one of the 12 disciples who'd followed Jesus for 3 years, only to see him die on the cross that first Good Friday. And they were all devastated. Yet that first Easter Sunday evening, as they gathered behind locked doors out of fear, the risen Jesus came and stood amongst them, and he showed them his hands and his side, and they were overjoyed, it says in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 20. But we're then told in verse 24 that Thomas was not with the disciples when Jesus came and appeared to the others. I mean, would you believe it? He was as close as anyone could ever be to seeing the most significant event in the history of the world, and he missed it. I mean, where was he? I mean, perhaps he was just grieving on his own and just needed to be on his own. Who knows? Maybe he popped out to get a quick kebab. We don't know. But for whatever reason, he missed seeing the risen Jesus along with the other disciples. But the other disciples had seen Jesus. And so when Thomas came back, they said, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas refused to believe them. He refused to believe the eyewitness evidence. And so he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand in his side," which you remember is where the spear was pierced by the soldier to make sure he's dead on the cross. He says, "Unless I see those things, I will not believe it." You see, for Thomas, believing in the risen Jesus required seeing the risen Jesus. And perhaps that's how many of you feel this morning as well. You won't believe in the risen Jesus unless you actually see the risen Jesus. Well, a week later, Jesus graciously appeared to the disciples again. But this time, Thomas was there. And Jesus gave him the exact same experience as he gave them the week before. Thomas could see and he could touch the risen the risen Jesus. And Thomas's doubt turned to belief. Thomas now knew without doubt that Jesus was alive. And he gave that wonderful profession of faith. He called him my Lord and my God, which is an astonishing thing for a man to say of another person, another human being. My Lord and my God. But Jesus accepts it because it was true. He really is Lord and God. And his actions throughout John's Gospel show that he is, in fact, both Lord and God. His resurrection confirms it. So doubting Thomas became believing Thomas. But Jesus tells us why in verse 29. He says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." But you know, Jesus didn't have to appear to Thomas for him to believe. Jesus didn't have to appear for Thomas to believe he was alive and to confess him as Lord and God, because Jesus had already appeared to the other disciples, and their eyewitness evidence was enough. Jesus' appearance to Thomas didn't establish anything new that the disciples the week before hadn't already established. It simply confirmed what they had said. Which is why Jesus goes on to say, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now let's get this clear. Jesus isn't saying this. He's not saying, "Thomas, it's good that you've believed based on evidence, but it's better to believe I'm alive without any evidence at all." No, he's not saying that. Evidence is essential if we're to believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. What is it Jesus is expecting future generations to believe? Well, it's the eyewitness evidence of the disciples. Because that testimony, their testimony, is sufficient for believing Jesus is alive. The testimony like that which is recorded in John's Gospel. Look at verse 30. It says, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Why did John record a selection of miracles that Jesus did, the greatest of them being his resurrection from the dead? Why did he record those, put them in written form in the book? Well, it's because John's eyewitness evidence is sufficient to convince people that Jesus is alive, that he is their Lord and God, and he's able to give them true life, everlasting life. You see, today we don't need Jesus to appear through these walls and to stand amongst us to show that he's alive and is our Lord and God. We've got enough evidence in the pages of the Bible. We've got enough evidence in John's Gospel alone, but we've got the whole Bible which gives testimony to who Jesus is and to his resurrection. Demanding more evidence than this is not reasonable and understandable. It's a refusal to believe the witness that God has given, that God has provided. Now let me just finish by asking you where you feature in this passage today, because I don't know if you realise, but as it was read to us, John is actually talking to you and me personally. All of us will feature somewhere in this passage today. Some of us will feature in verse 29. It says, in verse 29, where Jesus says, "Blessed are those who've not seen and yet have believed." You see, if you believe that Jesus is alive this morning, even though you have not seen him for yourself, then you are one of those blessed ones that John is talking, or that Jesus is talking about. You may not feel that you're particularly blessed. You may be going through some really tough times in your life at the moment. But the fact is, if you believe that Jesus is risen, that you confess him as your Lord and God like Thomas, then God's favour rests upon you. You have peace with God today. You have forgiveness of your sins. And you have everlasting life in his name. That's what it means to be blessed. Because you believe he's risen today. If this is you, I hope you find Jesus' words a great comfort to you this morning. Blessed are those who've not seen yet have believed. So you're either in that category this morning, or you're in this category, which is the one in verse 31. You see, you are the you that John is writing his book for. You're an unbeliever who does not confess Jesus as your personal Lord and God. Well, John has written a true and reliable account of Jesus' ministry so that you here this morning can know that Jesus is alive and know him as your rightful Lord and God. The question is, will you take the apostles' eyewitness evidence seriously and believe today? Or will you continue to demand more evidence like Thomas? The responsibility is not on God to provide more evidence. He's provided sufficient in this book. Sufficient evidence to believe that Jesus is alive. The question is, will we believe the evidence that he has provided? Will we believe the eyewitness accounts? Before I finish, would you like to see me turn a banana into a kiwi? You doubters. You're going to watch carefully. I am going to turn this banana into this kiwi. Watch carefully. Do you want to see it again? You see, the reality is, you should have believed Nick and you should have believed Davina. You didn't need to see it because they are reliable. I think you get the point. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that that first Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again. That we can know eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, peace with you today, as we trust in his death and resurrection as true events of history. For he died for me. Father God, help us to believe the witness you have given. Witness that has been written down for our benefit. Witness that caused many of those who write down those testimonies to die because they knew that Jesus really was alive. Oh, Father God, help us not to think that believing in you is to believe without evidence, but to believe that Jesus is alive is to believe the clear evidence that you have given in your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'll ask you to be seated again because I'd like to quickly ask Pamela to come up. Because this year we've got a new frontal to our communion table. Come and stand here, Pamela. And I'm going to stand over there so people can see a bit better. But Pamela, you and a team of people have made this specially for this Sunday. Can you just tell us a little bit about it? How did it come about and who was involved?
Well, you said nice things about the Christmas banner. And when you gave them back to me, I said, how about an Easter banner? And you said, that would be lovely, no pressure. And then I said, and compounded it all by, how about we do a group banner? And people contribute things, which made it a whole lot more difficult. I see it as a picture of God's church, that he has to do something with whatever he's got, really. And it ends up something beautiful.
Yeah.
And can I thank individual people?
Please do.
Well, Margaret supplied gold thread. Helen supplied the greenery. Yes. Marion did the... She was the first person. She said, I've got a...
You'll have to speak that way.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. She said, I've got a cross-stitch sunflower. That'll be lovely. And then she knitted a butterfly, which she said has come out much too big. Never mind. That's... No, it's the yellow one.
Oh, that one there. There's another butterfly.
Yes. Erica did some beautifully... completely anatomically correct butterflies in cross stitch. It took about 4 hours to sew the orange tip on the tree because it was all on that white material.
Oh, this one here. Yeah.
Penny embroidered the most beautiful text, and Davina did most of everything else. I just did the background and sewed it all on. It sort of evolved, really. I didn't have any design other than a sky, and most of the rest of it was lying awake at night panicking. But thank you.
Pamela, it's absolutely beautiful, and it's just, you know, it's just wonderful. It is easier doing things on your own. But to involve, you know, many within the church has been very special. This has been a real church activity, as you
well,
say.
Well, it just evolved, and it was brilliant getting to know people and just things I'd never have thought of.
Well, thank you for imagining this and for using others to produce it. Should we give them a round of applause? Thank you.